Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
So we've got a bit of story time.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So me and Megan, we've just recently celebrated our 10-year anniversary. And we decided to go back to the same hotel where we met 10 years ago, but with a twist. We booked in at the spa as well.
What a twist. The twists and turns of this story so far.
So I've never been to a spa before until I was with Megan. And now I've been twice.
Thrice you've been. We went to that one in Kildare. Do you remember that shit show?
Oh, I forgot about that one. Okay.
That's for another day. Okay, that
yeah,
story.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Okay, well, it's still the same thing. I was going to say it's 2-0 to the fucking spa.
Mm.
Well, now it's 3-0. So I was there on time, as I always am.
One was on time.
One was. Everyone seemed to enjoy my other spa tale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got another one. So we get down into spa.
Mm-hmm.
We're there in our robes.
We are.
On this like hot stone fucking lounger bench thing.
Yeah. Bench.
What?
What?
Yeah, like a bench. No, like it was a stone bench.
It was
thing.
A lounger.
Like I was sat.
Yeah, you refused to lie down because you're scared your bollocks were going to be.
Because your legs are up in the air on them.
Yeah, it's one of you're the loungers that's like curved for your body. So I hopped up and I just, you know, put my robe over my legs because I'm such a lady, you know, very mannerly and all that. And Neil was like, I can't do it. And I was like, why not? And he goes, because my bollocks is going to be hanging out. Good call, by the way, because where your bollocks were facing,
yeah,
that's where the therapist was going to walk in and go, are you ready for your treatment?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, fair play. Good call.
And so when Megan booked it, she said, oh, I've got the names of the therapists. Megan had Karen,
mm-hmm.
So you didn't really know with that one. And then for me, I had Ivishka. And I was like, nah, that sounds like some fucking, you know, chicken snapping farmer girl, like from Russia. She's going to break my fucking back. I was really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
The most smallest, petitest therapist comes over and goes, Neil.
Now, I've told you about this before. Stop downplaying, like, stop doubting their capability just because someone's petite. Massage therapists, a good one, they're putting their whole fucking body into it. They're going through it.
Are you telling me if Karen had showed up looking like a fucking rugby player, you wouldn't get excited? You wouldn't be like, oh, this is going to be good?
Not particularly, if I'm being completely honest with you. From doing massage, from getting massage, I can tell you it doesn't really matter. Because even if someone's like, I'm not very strong.
Yeah.
But I've given you a massage before. And you can put pressure in by using your body weight.
What I'm saying is the therapist did not look like an Ivishka. In my head.
It was very presumptuous, but anyway.
So she walks me to the room. She sits me down to do a consultation and she asked me what I was getting. I said, I don't know. Megan booked it. I said, I think it's like Ed back.
Some type of massage anyway.
So I think it's Ed back and feet. And she's just nodded along. And then she said, just to let you know, when I woke up this morning, my sinuses are blocked. That's all she said. Sinuses are blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, as long as you're going to be okay. And she went, oh, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. Okay. So then she leaves for me to take my robe off and get on the bed and that. And she comes back in with a fucking face mask on. And I'm like, shouldn't I be wearing this fucker? You're the one whose sinuses are blocked.
Well, she has got to keep her germs in. That's the point of her wearing it.
Why can't she keep them away from me?
Well, she can't if she's your therapist. She did ask you if it was all right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what would have happened if I said no?
Well, you would have had to hope there's another therapist on duty. I didn't see anyone else, though.
No. Well, the receptionist, she was in that get-up.
No, she wasn't.
Oh. I thought she was wearing the same clobber.
No.
Oh. There were a couple of things what happened in the treatment. What I had to question Megan on after, if I'd just been assaulted. So when I was laid on my front, and she was massaging my back, and she were like going down my arm, and she was holding my hand. Mm-hmm. She's like, interlock her fingers and hold my hand. And
yeah.
I thought it was very weird. I've never had that done to me before. You know, with all my experience going mm-hmm. for spa treatments. Then she kept nudging a thigh into my hand, and I was like, this feels deliberate because it's happened too many times now.
Are you accusing your therapist of sexually harassing you?
Well, no.
Are you comfortable? Because you're saying this on the podcast now. Are
no,
you?
No. That's what was going through my head.
You've also said her name.
So I did think it were a bit assaulty, but then I asked you and you went, no, it's fine. It happens.
Yeah.
I was like, right, okay. Now, one thing I will say for her, because with all this said and done, I'm now ill. She's fucked me over.
Mm.
And with how I'm feeling now, if she was feeling like that, and that's how good the massage was, I want to go back to her immediately when she's better.
Because
it was a good massage. She did have some strength in her.
Yeah. I never doubted her.
So she wasn't 100% fit, and that's what she could put out. I'm going back.
Well, my massage was great. I enjoyed it. I really liked my therapist. She did a great job. I would happily go back to her. Afterwards, I was a little bit, not annoyed, but, you know, it was what it was. So after your treatment, you know, they have the whole relaxation room, steam room, all of that jazz.
Yeah.
So you can just relax. You can get something to eat. You can have some tea, whatever you want.
Mm.
You know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice place.
Yeah.
So I wanted to relax after my treatment for a little bit. But Neil, who had come out 3 minutes before me, was done. He was ready to go. That was it.
Yeah.
So he had already had some water. I had some juice, I think you had.
I had water, juice, a banana.
Mm.
Two biscuits. And then I'd stuffed my pockets full of biscuits and tea bags for you.
Mm.
And then, yeah, I was ready to go back up to the room.
Yeah. Whereas I was trying to, you know, like, we've paid out for a nice experience.
Yeah.
I was trying to enjoy the whole experience, but you weren't having it.
I wanted a vape and...
You wouldn't just let me sit down for a couple of minutes. We're on, like, you know, the waterbed yolk. And you were just like, right, so going, or like you're getting that real kind of like antsy kind of, I'm done now, so we're both done.
I think at one point you looked annoyed because I was trying to figure out what this
switch on the wall did. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that's not for you to worry about. Just fucking sit down, relax. Yeah. Overall, though, it was nice.
Yeah. Oh, there was a bulb flickering I tried fixing as well.
What do you mean you tried fixing?
I was tapping it. It was like a box. It was like table for the waterbed. And I was smacking it, trying to get the bulb to stay on.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Mm.
So I started fiddling with that switch on the wall to see if that was for that, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Like you said, though, that was our little treat for our 10-year anniversary. Which, I tell you what, you know what I love about the 10-year mark?
Mm.
I feel like, you know, 10 years... is a marker. It's a decade. It's a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've now entered into that phase of the relationship where we can act like we know better than anyone who's been together less time than us. Someone who's been together 9 years and 6 months, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know. Like, yeah. You've barely been together a weekend.
Yeah. What annoys me about the 10-year thing is, so like, if I was letting someone know, oh, you won't be able to get us. We're going away for a 10-year. And they'd be like, is that 10 years married or just together? And
it's yeah. Like, yeah.
What do you mean just together?
I know. That's a good point. So I'm now better than anyone who's been together less time. Like us as a couple.
Yeah.
We're now snotty. Yeah. We've earned that.
I don't care if you've been married 5 years.
That's the thing. Well,
you ain't got shit on us.
Exactly. I take that.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. But yeah,
they always say that. They don't just say, oh, married or together.
Yeah.
It's just like, just are you married or just together?
Yeah. A lot of people restart the clock once they get married. And so if you were together a year and a half and then got married, you know, good for you. You know, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you don't get to talk to me.
Yeah.
You see you over there.
Yeah. Long story short, if I sound rough in this episode, it's Avishka's fault. So before we get into today's episode, Avishka, if you're listening, you're probably not, but if you are listening, I'm not accusing you of assault. It was just my inexperience in the industry. I was questioning it. Megan put it straight and said, no, it's normal.
In every small town, behind every closed door, a story waits to be uncovered. On our true crime podcast, we dive deep into the cases that haunt communities around the world, from chilling cold cases to crimes with unexpected twists. No detail is too small.
Hosted by us, Jen and Cam, two lifelong friends who love telling a good story, this isn't sensationalized news. It's real cases, real people, and the chilling details that keep you up at night. Our True Crime Podcast brings the facts, a little perspective, and just enough humor to remind you you're not alone in being fascinated by the darker side of life.
Our True Crime Podcast, where bizarre crimes, meticulous research, and genuine friendship collide.
Subscribe today if you dare, because sometimes the scariest stories are the true ones.
So, what you got for us today?
Well, Leo, today we are going to be talking about the survival of Morgan Metzer.
Survival of what?
What?
Survival of what? Well, from what?
An attack.
From?
An attacker.
Oh, a person. No, yeah. I'd got a bear in my head.
No, what?
I'd got like a bear or a shark.
Oh, is it when you hear survival, you go to like survivalist type of thing?
Yeah. What do you go to?
Surviving anything. You could have survived a plane crash. You could have survived a home invasion. You could have survived a bear attack. You could have, you know.
Well, you just proved my point. Why am I going to immediately go to an attacker?
You could have survived a night out in Sheffield, you know. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
2020 had been a difficult year for Morgan Metzer. She had been juggling raising two kids under the age of 10, running her expanding interior design business, and she had also finalised her divorce.
I like the name Morgan.
So, by the time New Year's Eve came around, Morgan decided to let loose a bit, and she attended a New Year's Eve party with her friend Nicole. But as I said, it had been quite the year for Morgan, and she was exhausted. She didn't feel up to partying late into the night, and so she decided to leave early.
Feel it.
Morgan had told her ex-husband that she was staying in her parents' home that night, but instead she decided to go back to her own home and settle in for the evening. She was going to have a quiet night in, as her kids were with her sister in Florida.
So that's him in the clear.
Morgan changes into her pyjamas. She gets a movie lined up and makes some popcorn before setting the alarm for the night.
What movie?
I actually don't know.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, it was Titanic.
No, because I know you're talking bollocks now.
What do you want from me?
You can't say watching a movie and not know what the movie is.
Probably not Titanic because it was late, she was tired. She probably didn't have 3 hours to spend.
All right, well, sis, you're watching my favourite, Due Date.
What's that, about an hour and a half?
I don't know.
So Morgan's setting the alarm for the night.
Yeah.
But as she's doing this, she gets the feeling that someone is watching her. She checks the windows, but couldn't see anything. Once Morgan finishes the movie, she goes to bed. Morgan awakes at midnight to the sound of fireworks as others ring in the new year. She kisses her dog and wishes her a happy new year before falling back asleep.
I don't get this, right? You have
what
a dog.
What don't you get?
You have a dog. You love your dog. We get it. Wishing your dog a fucking happy new year. Like, stop. Stop it.
I give Norman and Ty a kiss and say goodnight to them.
But they don't know what you're saying.
If Norman's not asleep on the bed, he's quite often laid against the bed on my side.
Yeah.
So I'll usually reach down, pet him, and say goodnight.
Yeah. But you may as well reach down, pat him on the head, and say, you fat little bastard. They don't know what you're saying.
I think they do.
Right.
You don't think...
Next time, say, fat little bastard.
No, I'm...
You'll get the same reaction.
He knows what chicken is. He knows what piddle is. He knows what shit is.
Yeah.
I'll say to him, you go for a shite?
Yeah.
You go for a shit?
Yeah. No, he does with that because it's associated with something.
It's also the tone of your voice.
But instead of saying good night or happy new year or whatever, just go, you fat little bastard.
I'm not saying he'll necessarily know what happy new year is because that's annual. That's taking the piss.
Yeah.
Expecting to learn that. In the early hours of the morning, Morgan wakes up again. This time to a man standing in the doorway of her bedroom.
Fuck that.
As Morgan screams, the man lunges at her and slams her back onto the bed while holding a gun to her head. His face was covered and his voice sounded distorted. Morgan described it as a deep, almost Batman-like voice. The intruder then told her that she'd messed with the wrong people and that she was going to pay.
So this is someone she knows because she told people she were kipping at her parents. So it's someone who knew that she wasn't kipping at her parents. So it's not her ex-husband.
Well, she'd just been to a party that night. What if someone had followed her home?
That too?
Mm. Morgan remembers back to what her ex-husband had told her, that if you're ever attacked, use your nails, leave a mark, get their DNA underneath your fingernails.
Yeah, I think I said that.
As Morgan attempts to do this, the intruder begins to beat her to the face with the butt of the gun before turning Morgan over, zip-tying her hands behind her back and sexually assaulting her. Morgan would later recall the intruder striking her with the gun. Quote, I could feel his finger on the trigger of the gun and I was like, this is it. I'm gone. He shoved her head into the pillow, smothering and strangling her. This was the point where Morgan could feel herself slipping into unconsciousness, but the attacker released. He then pulls her up and puts a pillowcase over her head, walks her outside onto the back porch, and pushes her down. The intruder tells her not to get up until she hears a car honk twice, signalling their departure. Morgan waited for the blast of the horn, but no such sound ever came. Frozen in fear, she doesn't dare move. What if they're still watching her? The location of Morgan's home is fairly secluded, and the only sound was that of the water flowing through a nearby stream. Then, about 40 minutes later, Morgan hears footsteps, and the pillowcase is ripped from her head. She looks up and sees her ex-husband, Rodney, standing there. He says to Morgan, baby, what happened? I'm so sorry. In that moment, Morgan knew instantly that this whole attack had been set up by Rodney.
She said, why would he go round?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She said that when he pulled the pillowcase from her head, he looked shocked, but not shocked as if he was seeing the injuries for the first time. It was more of a, oh my God, I actually did this to her.
Or, oh shit, she's still alive.
Morgan tried to remain calm and allow Rodney to play the hero that he wanted to be because she knew she was still alone with her attacker. Rodney calls 911, but tells them that it's not that big of a deal and that Morgan is fine. So, who is Rodney Metzer and what could have possibly driven him to do this?
So, for our listeners, just a bit of advice from, wise Neil.
Uncle Neil.
If you fuck off with that uncle shit. If you've lost the love of your life, don't do this to try and get them back. It's not going to work. Am I right? Is that what it is? I get it bang on here. Wow. Wow.
You're on the money.
Of course I am.
You're a very wise man.
That's what I said. I said wise Neil.
Knowledgeable Neil.
Ooh, I like that.
There you go.
I won't go that far, though.
Semi-knowledgeable Neil.
Limited.
Adequate.
I don't know what that means.
It's adequate. It's enough.
Enough.
You're not like great or anything, but you'll do.
Okay.
Rodney was Morgan's first serious relationship. First meeting when Morgan was 14 and Rod was 17.
What we talked about in the last episode.
Were you not 14 going out with a 17-year-old?
Yeah, but I was a 14-year-old.
That's the concerning part.
No.
What?
When the fella is the older one,
mm-hmm.
That's when it's was.
Why? Girls tend to mature quicker than boys. So if it's a 17-year-old girl, I'm going to be wondering why she's interested in a 14-year-old boy.
Because I was a catch, obviously.
Okay. They attended every prom and homecoming together. It was an all-consuming young love, and they did everything together. Although Morgan's father never had a good feeling about him. They later moved in together before getting engaged a year and a half later. They married in 2009 when Morgan was 21 years old. The couple lived in Macon, Georgia, and in March of 2011, Morgan gave birth to their first child, a son named Kevin. This was after Rodney's brother, who had passed away at the age of 19 due to leukemia. And sadly, Kevin was born with a congenital heart defect and died just 18 days later on what would have been his due date.
Let's pour one out for Kevin. Bless him.
Kevin's.
What?
Two of them. There was Rodney's brother and then their son, who had also passed away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pour one out. Well, I don't know anything about the brother.
You don't know anything about the baby.
There was only a baby, weren't it?
So who are you pouring one out for?
The baby.
But not Kevin, 19-year-old Kevin. From what I know, he was a lovely lad. He was very excited to be an uncle.
Okay.
Rodney came from a wealthy family, and he worked from home trading on the stock market. Morgan would often hear Rodney's extreme reactions if the market was not going his way. Screaming, door slamming, throwing items and punching walls.
Punching walls? Like, grow up.
I don't deal with any of that shit. I hate it. Every time you... Right, you won't even mean to slam a door. You'll close it too hard. And I'll be pissed.
I don't slam doors. You.
No, fucking, I don't.
My car door nearly fell off its hinges.
What is this fucking thing you have?
It's not just you. It's all women.
Is it?
Yeah. You can't lift a fucking shopping bag, but you can fucking take a door off its hinges when you're getting out of a car.
Can't lift a shopping bag.
Wait, with ease.
You'll see me lugging fucking weight. You'll be sat in the car. I'll be out in the piss and rain bringing the shopping bags back to the car. Mr. I can't get me fucking hair wet. Anyway, screaming, door slamming, throwing items, punching walls.
Yeah.
This frightened Morgan. She said that if you looked at his eyes during his freakouts, he was just completely checked out, blank and glazed over.
Yes, same as the typical football fan in the UK when the team's lost.
If she ever tried to intervene or comfort him, he would lash out, telling her that he was under a lot of pressure to provide a certain type of lifestyle, and he would just tell her to leave him alone. Morgan didn't like this behaviour, but it was easy to fob off, as she knew that the house he came from, there was a lot of similar behaviour. A while down the line, Morgan became pregnant with twins, and she was delighted. It was what they had wanted.
What, twins?
Well, to have kids, and I'm sure if they had discussed having two kids, there you go.
There's a big difference, though, between having two kids and having twins. Massive difference. One, you've got to fucking spit both of them out at the same time.
Yeah, the only benefit I can say, you know, in that sense, is if you've had a particularly difficult pregnancy, at least you're not having to go through it again. You know, the fear of it happening again.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then again, that extra weight you're carrying in the one pregnancy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Once the babies were born, Rod started to become frustrated. It seems that he felt being a parent was almost an inconvenience. If the kids wanted to sleep with them, that was a no-go for Rodney. Anything that could potentially cause a mess, the likes of slime or glitter, they were not allowed to play with these items. And God forbid they spill a drink, he would lose the plot. Now, what didn't help the situation was that around this time, Rodney had lost his job. And Morgan, who had started her own interior design business, her career was taking off. Yeah, I really don't get this. Instead of being happy for your wife and their overall financial well-being, it seems that Rodney took it as a blow to his ego.
Obviously. It's all about Rodders.
Morgan and the kids learned to tread very lightly when around Rodney. So much so that Morgan would end up hiding in the closet with her kids, just to get away from the constant negativity. She tried to make it a game, sort of a daddy's in a bad mood, we've got to give him space.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, and the time she remained with her children could range from 20 minutes to 2 hours, depending on how long it took Rodney to calm down.
Nah, that's not a way of living, nah.
Well, although his behaviour was clearly unacceptable, Morgan said that she never felt scared that he was going to physically harm her or the kids. But Morgan had never experienced another relationship, and for her, she just kind of thought it was normal for any relationship.
That's really sad.
It is.
And yeah, you're not going to be worried he's going to hit you, because he only hits things what aren't going to hit him back, like a fucking wall.
And of course, after every outburst, he would always reassure Morgan that he would do better. When Rodney's behaviour didn't change, and his outburst became more aggressive, Morgan starts to remove the children from the situation completely, and she would take them to her parents' home. During one of Rodney's explosive outbursts, Morgan went to leave with the kids. As she's in the garage loading the children into the car, Rodney approaches with a gun and points the gun to his head. When Morgan reacts by covering her eyes, Rodney lowers the gun and walks back into the house. So essentially, he's just testing the level of control he has over her.
Yeah.
In situations like this, Rodney would force Morgan into taking the blame for his behaviour. It was because she was going to take the kids out of the house. She had made him angry, which caused him to do this.
Bastard. Manipulating bastard. The gun? Is it the same gun what was used when she was tied up in that?
I don't know. I would assume so.
Okay.
But, you know, in that moment, Morgan's probably not even going to realise or recognise it.
She's not going to be like, that's a Glock 19.
Yeah, there's a gun in my fucking face.
Yeah.
You know? So it gets worse. During one argument, Rodney essentially threw himself down the stairs. With the children in sight of this, Rodney looks at their kids and says, "Mommy just pushed me. Can you believe that?"
Fuck.
So now planting the seed that she's the aggressor, not just mentally, but also physically.
He's a bit of a tool, isn't he?
He's the worst.
Fucking useless tool.
The worst. And over time, Rodney felt more comfortable to behave in this manner outside of the home. When attending a friend's party, They left the kids with Morgan's parents and, you know, made it a bit of a weekend away. And of course, it's a party, people are having a laugh, people are drinking.
Mm.
Later in the evening, Rodney took the opportunity to tell Morgan that she was embarrassing him and that she was also bothering other people. Now, Morgan didn't really bother to argue, you know, she knows the sus, and instead told Rodney that she was just going to go to bed. With Morgan not engaging in the confrontation, Rodney became frustrated and began to physically attack Morgan.
Fuck's sake.
Once he realised the damage he had caused and saw the blood running down her face, Rodney told Morgan that she needed to stop, that he loved her and that he had just tried to hold her back from hitting him, that he wasn't mad, but she needed to get help. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I know you're not laughing at that. You're just so like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's fucking terrible, but that's what she's going through. But wow.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, his tactics kind of worked. Not everyone realized. They may have thought it was kind of, you know, a scuffle. She'd had too much to drink.
Yeah.
It had become a, you know, a disagreement or fight between them.
Hmm.
And also, some of Morgan's friends who could see what was going on, eventually some of them stopped talking to her. And the reason being was that they couldn't understand why she was, quote unquote, allowing this to happen.
So they left her?
And like, I don't know how many, but it was said that a couple of friends became frustrated.
No, I don't agree with that. She needs people around her.
Of course. I think, you know, if they maybe haven't experienced it themselves, it's just a case of, you know, why don't you respect yourself enough to leave? That's kind of their mindset.
Yeah.
And they have no idea of the control that you can be under. Another area of their relationship which became an issue was their sex life. Morgan said that she felt they did have a good, healthy sex life. But over time, Rodney wanted more. And if she said no, this would only make him angry. And there was times where he would force himself onto Morgan while simply saying, just give it a minute.
What?
Afterwards, Morgan would confront him and tell him that she was telling him to stop. Why didn't you stop? His response was to tell her that she was simply being overdramatic. After sexual assault became a part of his abuse, Morgan had had enough. After 11 years of marriage, she filed for divorce. And you know what? Fair fucks to her. Not only can it be incredibly difficult to get out of an abusive relationship and the added obstacle, you know, when you have kids with the person, but Morgan had been with him since she was a kid. It was pretty much all she had known.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a year on us. We have to do at least another year.
Well, that's just the marriage. Yeah. That's just the marriage now.
Yeah.
So, although from what I gather, the abuse started later in the relationship, and I'm not saying that this is the case in their relationship, but I think quite often when you look back, you start to piece together other abusive behaviour that you may have overlooked or downplayed at the time.
Hmm.
So, again, like I said, it was the latter half of their relationship, but God knows how many seeds he had planted previous.
Yeah. I can't understand that mentality of you're with your wife and you can put your hands on her. It doesn't matter what you do to annoy me. I've said it to you loads. You know, if you're in one of your annoying humours and you keep poking me, fucking sticking your finger up my ass, fucking flicking me ear.
That doesn't sound good.
Basically, you know how a bloke's thing, if the woman bends over as you walk past, you slap it? No, Megan, finger up the ass.
No, I don't. That's not exactly what I do.
It fucking is.
No, it's, right. You know what it is? Because men do it to women all the time. And it's like, haha, it's cute, you're my partner. Do it back to them. Women, do it back to the men. Get their fucking reaction.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. Right, if that was someone else doing it to me, I would lash out. But you, it's just not in me. I can't even think about turning around and leathering the shit out of you. So I just can't understand that mentality of doing it to your wife, putting your hands on your wife.
Well, I mean, don't do it to anyone, preferably. But I get what you're saying, that it's the person you're meant to be closest to, you're meant to be sharing your life with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some people don't look at it as someone to share their life with, they look at it as someone to have under their control. Their top right. dog, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 2026.
Once separated, Morgan had additional cameras fitted within the home. She changed all the locks and had Rod's name and contact taken off the security accounts.
You're calling him Rod now?
Rod, Rodney, Rodders.
Rodders.
I've got a few written down within this, you know? You know how we like to do. Now, of course, Rodney was not happy about losing his control over Morgan. There was one day when Morgan was at her parents' home, and Rodney decided to sit in their driveway, refusing to leave. They ended up calling the police, who told Rodney that, you know, you can't just fucking sit in someone's drive. So what do you reckon all Rodders did?
Did it again.
He moved his car to the street and continued to wait outside.
Oh, he's one of the public property now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what she should do?
Mm.
Get a megaphone and just keep calling Dave. Dave.
Dave.
Just keep calling him Dave.
Oh, only fools and horses.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, Rodney did eventually agree to the divorce, but he told Morgan that he would win her back.
By doing what he did?
No, not the best idea, is it?
No.
On multiple occasions, including carving pumpkins for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, Rod would do this creepy shit of just sort of showing up as if nothing had happened.
Now,
terrifying.
Why is he carving pumpkins for Christmas?
No, for Halloween.
You said Halloween and Christmas.
I did not.
You said carving pumpkins for Halloween and Christmas.
Did I not say carving pumpkins for Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Oh, so he's doing it for Thanksgiving as well.
Okay, maybe I worded it weird. I meant to say multiple occasions, including carving pumpkins for Halloween.
Yeah.
Also on Thanksgiving and Christmas, like big events.
Right.
Big family events.
Okay.
Okay. Like I said, Rodney showing up, doing that weird, creepy shit like nothing happened.
Yeah.
And understandably, in front of the kids, Morgan didn't want to make a big deal out of this. You know, it's their father. But Morgan was starting to feel very uncomfortable. She was essentially being stalked by him in plain sight. It's incredibly frightening and manipulative, particularly to do in front of the kids.
Get your center fella.
What?
Get your center fella.
What? I'll say again, what?
Have male presence in the home. Like a male roommate or something. You're just staring at me.
I am, yeah.
Go to like, no, hear me out.
Right,
you go to your local nightclub or bar, go up to the doorman and go, do you know of any doorman who need a place to stay?
So what you're saying is hire security.
Well, you're not going to pay out for that, but you get money off of them for rent. But you've also, you're charging.
You may not want a man you don't really know living within your home.
Well, that
she had one she knew living in her home and it didn't work out so well for her.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to come down too hard when you hear, right? But you've done it now. You've poked the bear. Right? This is like when you hear men go, you know what I mean? You need women to protect you. Yeah. I don't know what that voice was. I don't know who exactly.
Fucking Johnny Vegas just come in the room.
A little bit Johnny Vegas, a little bit American. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But when men say, you know, if all the men are gone, who's going to protect you? Who are you protecting me from? You're protecting me from other men.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what I'm getting at?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About a week before the home invasion, Rodney told Morgan that he had pancreatic cancer and that he was alone, so he asked her for emotional support. Morgan allowed him to sleep within the home, but on the sofa.
Well, that's not good.
What do you mean?
Well, with his pancreatic...
Pancake.
with his cancer...
Yeah.
He's probably going to need a good firm mattress. Not a fucking sofa. So he's going to be pissed off at that.
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to give up her bed. Like, he has his own apartment. He just doesn't want to be on his own. He's choosing to sleep on the sofa for the comfort of being around her.
Okay.
And also, while staying in her home, he spent this time hassling her to get back together with him.
Game out.
Yeah. And again, fair fucks to Morgan. She stood firm. She did not give in to his constantly fucking just meh, meh, meh yeah. at her, you know? Now, like you said, get him out.
Yeah.
Eventually, Morgan did ask him to leave. And this was because he refused to tell his family about his diagnosis. You know, she was kind of like, I'm not going to take all this burden. I'll be here for you, but you got to kind of deal with this.
He didn't have it. With it. He didn't have it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, right, this is what I don't understand about people who lie about stuff like that, right? So let's say she bought into it. She was, you know, and it worked. She felt that sorry for him. And she was like, he's a shell of a man. He needs someone to look after him. I'll get back together with him. Then what? What are you going to do when you're not going for chemo and you're not doing this and you're not doing... What's your end game here? I don't understand.
I don't think people like Rodney tend to think very far ahead.
No.
It's the initial thing, like, I can do this to get, I can weasel my way back in like this, you know, and then...
And then I'll work the rest out later.
Yes. No, you won't. Come on. So, like we said, Morgan was like, fuck this, not doing it, piss off.
Yeah.
Put down and piss off.
Yeah.
Before Rodney had left, he made sure to tamper with the alarm system. Now, we mentioned earlier that Rodney had told Morgan what to do if she was ever attacked. Things like try to scratch them, get their DNA under your fingernails, leave marks on them. If they're concealing their identity, try to get between their gloves and sleeves so you can see their skin colour to later ID them.
Yeah.
When Morgan was attacked, the intruder made sure to tuck his sleeves into his gloves. Of course, this stood out in her mind.
Yeah.
He also told her that if she was ever sexually assaulted, not to fight back and cause further harm or injury. Yeah. Now look, there is no right or wrong way to get attacked.
Yeah.
Some people come out swinging. They really do. Yeah. And other people are like, I have to, you know, like self-preservation. I have to be as quiet, as still as whatever to try and get through this.
Yeah.
Try not, you know. You know, I've thought about it a lot. I think that's more the direction I would end up going, is just kind of being quiet, whatever, but try and get some DNA under my nails, like somehow, or there'd be something I'd do. I remember in a previous episode, I was like, I'd be swinging like fuck, scratching like fuck. No, I wouldn't. I don't even know why I said that. I would try and get some, carefully get some DNA, but I'm not a fighter.
You don't have to be a fighter. You go into survival mode. It's different to your normal mode.
I get that. And I cannot say what I would do. I'm just going off of how I am generally. And whenever I feel in a situation of threat or whatever, I tend to be kind of, you know, try to shrink rather than get bigger. Do you know what I mean? That's my reaction to danger.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But yeah, no, you never know until you're in it.
Yeah.
I'd be very carefully just like, see that? Just like little one finger scratching. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just try to get that's a little bit of that
got,
DNA.
When you said it, that's what I'd got in my head.
Yeah. I always have that in my mind, trying like, you know, it's the whole thing like when women get into a taxi and they'll leave like a couple strands of hair in case anything happens. It's things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember previously saying like, oh, I'd swing. No, I wouldn't. I would very carefully, lightly scratch.
I think I said I'd swing like a windmill. You never know how you're going to react. Like, you go into survival mode, it's completely different.
Yeah.
You might surprise yourself. Mm. What I've heard a lot of women, especially in places like the UK and Ireland, they're all suffering from back pain, like muscle pain in the back.
Yes.
So what they're doing is they're carrying, you can get these little cans of DP what fit nicely in your handbag.
Mm.
So if you need to spray it on your back, then you've got it there if needed.
Yeah. And the spray is wonderful. You get a nice spread on that.
Yeah.
You know, compared to a tube.
It's a bit peppery as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You know.
You can carry a tube, but it's a little bit more rogue
Yeah.
Trying to get the angle.
Yeah.
You know, spray.
Get the good. Can, get the spray.
Yeah.
Don't get the cold one. Chill, whatever. That's no good. I've heard deep heat is the best one for your back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll really fight it.
Deep heat sponsors.
Yeah.
You gotta try.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there. Email us at mortalmusingpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Like, I'm amazing at marketing, if you think about it.
Get on to Deep Heat.
Yeah, I might do. Allegedly.
Anyway, back to the night of the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Police arrive at the home, and of course, they want to speak to Rodney and get his account. Rodney said that someone had knocked on the window of his apartment, and he couldn't make out what they were saying, but he heard Morgan's name. So, the wonderful guy that Rodney is,
yeah,
he came right over.
Wow.
But as far as Rodney knew, Morgan was meant to be staying at her mother's house that night, no?
Yeah.
When confronted with this gaping plot hole in his story, Rod said that he just automatically drove to Morgan's home that night. You know, it was just autopilot.
Yeah. As you do.
Basically, his story was thinner than my patience with this man. And the detectives could see straight through it.
Yeah.
They talked to Morgan and they ask if she knew who the intruder might be. They ask if she thought it was possible that it was her ex-husband. Did she think that he was capable of doing this? Of course, Morgan's like, yeah.
Yeah, threw himself down the stairs.
So police asked to see his phone, and they find that he had a hidden folder, which contained many photos of Morgan, either partially dressed or nude, and photos of her in the shower. And these photos appear to have been taken without her consent. As well as the photographs found on his phone, Rodney had also taken pictures of messages on her phone. Now, bear in mind, the only item stolen from the home was Morgan's iPhone, which had then been used to delete security footage. Are you wanting to say anything, or you just...
So the photos, what he'd taken of the messages...
Morgan had been messaging someone she had met, like another guy or something.
Yeah.
So he's taken, once he'd taken her phone, he was taking pictures of her phone, of the messages on her phone.
After the attack?
I mean, I would assume so, yes. During the attack, yeah, he stole her phone. Allegedly. The phone was never found. Allegedly.
Is a bit thick, innit? Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. For this and his bizarre, painfully flawed account of the night, police place Rodney under arrest. They knew they had to detain him then and there, or else they risk him destroying further evidence.
Yeah.
They obtain search warrants for Rodney's apartment, his car, and electronic devices. Within Rodder's apartment, they find a book called, you ready for it?
Yeah.
7 Ways to Be Her Hero.
Nope.
Ick.
No.
Fucking ick. They also have a little looky look at his search history. And there's some belters here.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
How to change the sound of your voice. Do you remember the Batman distorted voice? Yeah. How to choke someone unconscious. How to crack iPhone password. How to get sympathy from your ex. And cancer letter from hospital.
Fuck off.
Like,
so it's just all there.
Fuck this guy.
All lined up.
Yes. I literally cannot fucking stand him. His, like, hang on.
Wait.
Hang on.
So is there a fucking Reddit thread or something? So he put how to get your ex back, how to make him feel sorry for you. And someone on Reddit has been like, tell him you got cancer.
I mean, probably. Like, fuck this guy. I can't stand how literal he is. His search history is just a fucking checklist for his repulsive behavior.
Yeah.
I can't. By the way, the whole cancer thing, Rod had actually created an email to pose as a doctor, and he also created a fake bill for the treatment, which he sent to himself. Yeah. we're getting deep into it here. Like, it's
thing. Did he also Google search how to throw yourself down the stairs?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
In front of your kids?
In front of your kids. And then blame the mother.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, within his home, police find zip ties. Not only the same zip ties used in the home invasion, but Rod had actually prepared the loops before leaving his apartment, and they find the exact cutoffs from the zip ties used within his apartment.
Like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. They then find a suicide note that Rodney had written. Now, with this, it looks likely that Rodney was planning a murder-suicide. But during the attack, the intruder said something to Morgan about her husband. And when she replied by saying, no, no, don't hurt him, I love my husband, you know, all that, Morgan said she felt the mood shift. Another detail about the attack that led Morgan to suspect Rodney was the way he had picked her up from the bed. She said it felt familiar. She realised it was the same way he had carried her years previous while she was pregnant with their twins. That detail just like gets under my skin.
So the only reason she survived is because when...
he saw a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, if she'd have gone, ah, fuck him, it'd have been over.
That's what I mean. The attack seemed to turn from all-out aggression towards her to more of a robbery type of situation with the intruder suddenly demanding jewellery. So was Rodney playing it by ear? Because we know he wanted to be the hero. Was murder-suicide the backup plan? Had Morgan reacted more negatively to the mention of her ex-husband?
Yeah, yeah.
So whether this was his plan all along or he decided to do it then and there based on her reaction... the dumb fuck didn't even steal anything other than her iPhone. So if he was going for the robbery angle, what in the name of shite was he doing? Honestly, this lad couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. I can't. Of course, obviously, you know, I don't want to downplay the severity of what he did and how fucking terrifying it must have been for Morgan, but it's just this fucking guy. I swear to God.
He really is as useless as a one-legged man at an ass-kicking party.
He really is. During his interview with police, Rodney said, quote, I don't have an angry bone in my body. I'm not an aggressive person. He also said, I know what I know. I told my truth.
He smacked her about.
He's such a fucking shite-hawk, right? Do you know how much of a shite-hawk Rodney is? He actually attempted to manipulate and take control over the interrogation with the detectives. He said to the detective, quote, I've already learned something about you, about your facial expressions. You keep scratching yourself when you get agitated by what I say. It's that real kind of like, I figured this out about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Look how intelligent I am.
Yeah. You know, if I wanted detectives, do you know what I would have said? Oh, so you ain't got an angry bone in your body. So punching the walls, that's just for sport, is it?
Honestly, like, shut the fuck up, Rod. You know what? Rod is going on the list.
Roddy.
Like, that's that name.
Yeah.
It's done for me now.
Yeah.
Never a big fan. Done with it now.
Yeah.
Also, for the record, the detective did not seem agitated in the slightest. They fucking knew it was him and they were just going through the motions, yeah, essentially. Now, when they told Rodney that they found the zip ties in his apartment, Rodney said, quote, zip ties? I don't have zip ties. The detective replied, I know you don't. We have them now. Like, I'm sorry. He pisses me off so bad. During the interrogation, he was like, ooh, there's something funny going on here. He actually said that. Like, he was like, wait a minute. You know, that kind of like...
there's a plan.
He was making out as if, you know, someone's setting him up.
Yeah.
He even described the situation as being, quote, squirrely.
What?
Squirrely. Like, it's sus. It's, oh, something's going on. And it's like, oh, my fucking God. And I tell you, if anyone is squirrely, it's you, Rodney. Because they later obtained footage of Rodders buying the zip ties in Lowe's on the 30th of December. He also used his debit card to pay.
What?
Yeah. Got another little gem for you here.
Go on.
This was all during COVID. So just about everyone in the footage is wearing a face mask, except for this dipshit. So, like, come on, man. You were handed an opportunity to obscure your identity, yeah, and you couldn't even fucking figure that one out. That's, I, you know, I'm getting fucking major ick from this guy. It's the fucking stupidity that's killing me, but also that be her hero bollocksology.
Yeah.
I'm going to go full white girl in this one and just say, I literally can't even with him.
Totally.
Now, not that we need much more convincing, but footage from Rodney's apartment complex shows Rod enter the apartment and leave a few minutes later in a different set of clothing.
So it's case closed.
Basically. I think, you know, with all that said, it will not come as any surprise that on the 4th of August, 2021, Rodney pleaded guilty to 14 charges, including kidnapping and assault.
What? What, he didn't argue it and go, what, is it a capital crime to change my clothes?
I have so much to say and nothing to say at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is there to, like, you know? The district attorney said, quote, this defendant planned a violent attack on his ex-wife that included breaking into her home, disguising himself, and pistol whipping her. He left her outside on a cold winter night, face down, zip-tied, with a pillowcase over her head. I cannot imagine how terrifying this must have been for her. This is a classic example of how the most dangerous time for a domestic violence victim is when she decides to leave an abusive relationship.
It's so true. Like, so you know how you'll have people judging someone who's in a relationship where there's domestic violence and, like, why don't they just leave them?
Mm-hmm.
This is why. Like, sometimes it is easier for the person to keep that person happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's wrong. Completely fucking wrong. But, yeah, this happened.
No, I know what you mean.
Because she left him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of, how do I get out of this without an explosion? Because if I can fucking spill a glass of water,
yeah,
and you explode.
Especially, you know, especially somewhere like America where, you know, you can legally own a gun.
And Rodney had a gun.
It makes things so much fucking harder because, yeah, it's like, how do I know if I don't fuck, if I end this, he's not going to come straight round with a gun. Like,
yes. Yeah. I mean, you don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, you know, before police can get involved, it's kind of like something has to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Rodney was sentenced to 25 years in prison and 45 years probation. During the sentencing, Morgan read a victim impact statement that was several pages long. And you got to remember, she's not just addressing the intruder, but also her ex-husband, the person who had been abusing and tormenting her for years. Morgan seems to be an incredibly compassionate person who, even after the attack, says she wishes she could have helped him.
Too compassionate.
Quote, he's all I've ever known. He's the only person that made me feel safe. And he's also the person that took away my sense of safety as well.
Push him down the stairs.
Well, Neil, that is the survival of Morgan Metzer. Thoughts?
I do have some. Several. Is there anything on Morgan, like, after? Like,
yeah,
how,
so
she's getting on, or?
I believe she is still, she still has her interior design business. I know she ended up bringing her friend in, you know, Nicole, who she went to the New Year's Eve party with.
Yeah.
She brought her in to work in the company. It was getting that big.
Yeah.
She needed the help. I believe she also speaks publicly and helps other people who have been victims of domestic violence.
Oh, good. Good.
Morgan's quite vocal. You'll see her on quite a lot of shows speaking about her experience.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair folks to her.
And how's Roddy?
Rod is said to be suffering from type 1 diabetes, and his mother has said that his health is declining.
Oh, good. Oh.
No pancreatic cancer, though. Just the type 1 diabetes.
How much of a kick in the bollocks would it be if he did?
Stop. I have to ask, how do you feel about Rodder's sentence?
I don't understand how he didn't get life.
Mm-hmm.
Or death.
Well.
Do you mean well?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I feel like George is probably a stricter in some of their sentencing.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I mean, that's just us assuming.
Yeah, because of the way they talk.
Make an ass out of yourself when you do that.
Because of the way they talk. When they talk like that, it's usually, you know, there's hangings and that. Death penalties.
The point I was making is, you know, I don't know about their sentencing, but I mean, I think, I don't think you would have been able to get death for this. It has to be murder, does it not? Like first degree murder to get.
Yeah, but he left her with a fucking sack over her head. She could have suffocated. She was face down with a fucking sack on her head.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Yeah, but she could have.
No, but that would be attempted.
We'll get him on attempted.
No, but okay, look, you're getting too into... We're not arguing what could have potentially happened.
He should have got more.
But we know that his intention was not to kill her. No, we're not talking about the initial plan, whether it was going to be a murder-suicide. We know what did end up happening and how he left her. He was not planning to kill her. He wanted to walk back in there and go, baby, what happened?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm here.
Rodders is here, honey. I'm here.
Super Rod.
Super Rod. Sounds like a toilet cleaner.
Yeah.
I find his sentence quite concerning. 25 years? He's still going to be young when he gets out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is going to be young and still... Well, okay, I know his health is kind of a shit. But I mean, just the age of him, he's still relatively young and fit.
But
apart from the diabetes.
But they'll still be keeping an eye on him for another 20 years as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that means jack shit, really.
Yeah.
You know, like if he wants to hurt her or hurt someone else...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, this is... You know when it comes to like changing your name and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong here or can anyone do it? Because you say he does his 25 years, yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's in all the newspapers and stuff, but, you know, Rodney did this. So if he comes out of prison and changes his name, like, surely he's not allowed to do that.
No, I'm pretty sure you can.
So he can change his name to Max Steele.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would pick a name like that as well.
Yeah, of course he would. And he goes to the local bar and picks up a bird and like, oh, we'll go on a date. And then she Googles Max Steele and clean sheet.
I don't think, I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But I do know there's cases of people, you know, killers or sex offenders who have changed their name and then people will try and get their name out there. They'll try and connect the new name with their previous name.
Yeah.
So people know. But I don't know if you were to look them up on a database because they have a conviction, would it link it? Yeah. Previously known as currently. You know, I don't know.
Do you know what else? If he was to change his name, it'd either be something like Max Steele or Rodney Morgan.
No, that's awful.
He probably
that's
would,
terrifying.
Actually.
No. No, I'm sticking with the Max Steele, I think. I think he'd be that guy, yeah. One thing I do actually want to note is how bad I feel for Rodney's parents. They've had to come to terms with what he's done and the death of their other son, Kevin. For two very different reasons, they've in effect lost both of their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That is fucking brutal. And I know his mother, I don't know how vocal she is, but I know I was watching her speak on it. So it's not like she's tried to close it off. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
She's aware. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, one last honorable mention before we move on from this case. After Rod was arrested, he was on the phone to his mother and he said, quote, why is she doing this to me? Yeah. Yeah. Morgan again.
Tell her to stop.
Yeah. Mummy. Mama.
What happened to Super Rod?
I know.
Like.
He's fucking gone out the window.
Yeah. So. Oddity.
Tootin' Allen.
Tootin'. Like smoking?
No. In 2009, taxi driver Alan Billis from Torquay was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm.
And in January of 2011, Alan sadly passed away. But not before making arrangements for what he would have liked to have had done with his body. And that was to donate it to science.
Okay.
But not just whatever experiment or research that required a cadaver. Alan specifically donated his body to be mummified in the same manner as was done in ancient Egypt.
Okay.
You're starting to lose your patience now. I can see it. When he told his wife of his wishes, he said, quote, "I've just phoned someone up about being mummified."
As you do.
Just think of this like middle-aged...
She just rolled her eyes and went, yeah, okay.
Middle-aged, older taxi driver. Like, "I've just been on the phone with the lads."
Yeah.
Thinking about getting, you know, bandaged up, you know, mummy style.
Yeah.
She said it was just the sort of thing that she would expect him to do as well. You know, Alan.
So Alan. So Alan. Yeah.
When speaking about his decision, Alan said that one of the main reasons was his grandchildren. Quote, "Perhaps this would give them an insight into what their granddad was like. I don't know. They'll probably tell someone at school that my granddad's a pharaoh. That's my legacy, I suppose."
I bet they fucking don't.
I was going to say, it's actually not, Alan. You may have been mummified, but you can't go and claim to be a fucking pharaoh. It's a bit of a piss take.
Yeah, you can't do that. And you're not going to look like yourself.
What?
It's not going to be realistic.
What do you mean?
Well, he said, give them a sense of who I was.
No, no, he means like his personality. Like, my granddad was so cool, he went off and got mummified.
Rajd in their head, not fucking cool.
What do you mean?
Donating your body to science is donating your body to science. Not abusing the system to fucking get your own mummy in
what
the house.
What system is he in the house?
Well, where's he
it's
keeping it?
It's not getting sent back to his wife to prop up in the armchair in the corner.
But I thought it were for grandkids.
No, what?
I thought it were for grandkids. Am I missing something?
What do you mean for the grandkids?
You said donating his body to science.
To use as a climbing frame? Or what?
No, what? Like a display, a fucking...
Display, a corpse.
Like having a coffin...
In the kid's room.
Having a coffin stood up. Yeah. I don't know what I'm picturing here.
I don't.
But it's not donating it to science if you're getting your own personal mummy.
They're not getting their own personal mummy. Where did I say that? He's donated his body to then be mummified.
Yeah.
They're not shipping it back to his gaff.
So how's this for the grandkids to look
They're
at?
They're not going to like place a glass top over his body and use it as a fucking dining table.
That's what I was picturing, that sort of thing.
No, they're not doing that.
So what's the point?
For the crack. For Bants.
For Bants?
Why not? They needed a body. Alan said, "I've got one and I'm passing on soon. So I'm happy to donate."
So where did grandkids come into this?
He wanted to do something, I'm guessing a little bit out of the box, what he'd normally do. And he said one of the first things he thought of was his grandkids. Like, he's giving his grandkids a story to tell their friends. Like, you know, my granddad, he got fucking mummified.
I thought the mummy would belong to them. I thought it was, I'm gifting me to them.
No, who wants that gift?
Well, that's what I was saying.
But I didn't say it.
I thought you did.
Okay. Will we move on?
Yes.
Alan's organs were removed through an incision to his side. The cavity was then sterilized and filled with linen. His skin was coated in a protective oil before his body was submerged in a salt bath for over a month to dry out the moisture. His body was then wrapped in linen and left to dry for 3 months before the process was considered to be complete. Quote, "The skin itself has this leathery appearance, which indicates that he has become mummified all over. It makes me very confident that his tissue has been mummified correctly and in a very successful manner." You okay, Neil?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
The next part's going to make you happy.
Go on.
Alan's body was kept at the Sheffield Medico-Legal Centre until subject to further studies into mummification and decomposition. Shout out Sheffield.
Yeah.
Come on. You happy with that one?
Yeah.
Come on, we're putting you on the map. Mummies and that.
That's putting us on the map.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What else you got?
Steel.
Mm.
Enderson's Relish. Sheffield United. We don't talk about the other one.
I think mummies is like adding to the cool factor.
No, if anything, that's going to deter people from visiting.
So not about it.
Doing this mummy shit?
No, like having the association with Sheffield.
Yeah, you threw me for a loop there. Mm. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, you don't really want to claim it, but you're just happy that Sheffield's getting mentioned.
Well, I didn't think
we'd
get involved with fucking stuff like that.
You prefer to get involved with the cause of death rather than what you do to the body after the fact.
Well, that's usually the case.
Yeah. Alan's family said, quote, "As a family, we were all supportive of his decision and have been overwhelmed by the care and attention he has received since his death. We would like to thank all involved for making his wish possible and for making this such a positive experience." Alan's body is currently kept in the Gore Museum of Pathology in London, and the mummification of Alan's body was actually documented in the film Mummifying Alan, Egypt's Last Secret. How the fuck had I not heard about this? I need to watch it. Now, the reason, or one of the reasons for this experiment, was to help scientists to develop an alternative to formaldehyde for preserving tissue. So, you know, it was a good reason to conduct this experiment.
Why do you want to preserve tissue? It's very fucking Ed Gein-ish.
You know, that's part of the process.
Process of what?
You know, when someone goes to the embalmer and all that, you know, like when you're having the wake, especially the UK, when they like to just store bodies for weeks and months.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're on board now?
Kind of.
Alan, who dubbed himself Tootin' Alan.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Said of his imminent mummification, quote, "Experimenting is all about trying different processes to make things work. If it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world, is it? Doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not going to feel it. It's still bloody interesting." Fucking good man, Alan. Love to see this kind of attitude, don't you?
Yeah.
Good man. Huh? Are you a bit more on board now?
I was about to say fucking dick, but that last bit, it's like, okay.
You know, it's...
See, he seems a nice guy. Well, yeah. was a nice guy.
He's doing something to help science. He's kind of looking as, you know, I don't need my body anymore.
Yeah.
Take it. Do some good with it. Yeah. It's also the added benefit of, you know...
Just behave giving... yourselves with it.
He's, well, yes. He's also giving his grandkids an interesting story to tell their friends. Works all round.
They're not going to go to school and go... My granddad was a fucking pharaoh.
Do you want
to
come round for dinner?
My granddad was a pharaoh. He was a taxi driver from Torquay, stored in Sheffield.
No one's going to mention Sheffield, Neil.
But they're not going to mention Torquay.
They're not going to downgrade the story, and you know, they're not going to drag it down.
Yeah.
To the depths of Sheffield.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. All right.
I'm kind of interested in the idea of like the body laying there on the glass tabletop now that you say it.
With freckle on wall in a frame.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck me.